promised land was a long, long road, but your people are home. So long, Moses. So hello, Joshua. Goodbye, Canaanites. We're coming to town. 12 tribes and no crown, no crown, no more. We want a king on a throne full of power with a sword in his fist. Will there ever be a king like this? Strong, and you didn't last long. Goodbye, Saul. Oh, but hail King David, shepherd from Bethlehem, set the temple of God in mighty Jerusalem. He was a king on a throne full of power with a sword in his fist. Has there ever been, a king like this? Full of wisdom, full of strength, hearts of the people are his. Hero Israel, was ever there a king like this? With a sword in his fist, prophet, tell us, will there be another king like this? Full of wisdom, full of strength, the hearts of the people are his. Prophet, tell us, will there be another king like this? And Isaiah said, he'll bear no beauty or glory, rejected, despised. A man of such sorrow will cover our eyes. He'll take up our sickness and carry our tears. For his people, he will be pierced. He'll be crushed for our evils, our punishment field. By his wounds, we will be healed. We will be healed from you, O Bethlehem. Small among Judah, a ruler will come, ancient and strong from you, O Bethlehem. Small among Judah, a ruler will come, ancient and strong from you, O Bethlehem. Small among Judah, a ruler will come, ancient and strong.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Eagle's Landing. We felt like that song kind of encapsulated the entire story of the plan that God put in motion so many years ago, and that Jesus fulfilled when he came as a little baby. And that the truth is, there will never be another king like him. He is king, he is Lord of lords, and reigns forever and ever. Would you stand with us as we celebrate and give glory to the newborn king? King of Kings tonight. Amen.
All right, I'll see if you guys have been paying attention. If you paid attention last week when you came to Simply Christmas, how are you doing today?
Fantastic.
There's a good word right there. I hope you don't miss that. Listen, I hope you have a wonderful, incredible Christmas, and we're going to start it off with our service tonight and start it off with baptism. So if you'll be seated just a minute, direct your attention to the baptistry.
I'm Rick Whitlock, and this is my grandson, Bryce Whitlock, and it's a great privilege to have this opportunity to baptize him. He has professed Christ as his Savior, and he wants to follow the Lord in believer's baptism tonight. It's my great joy and great delight to do that here on a Christmas Eve. At Christmas time, we think about the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world and the gift of God's Son to us. But our salvation could only be realized as he grew up and went to an old rugged cross and died for us, and then was buried and rose again the third day. And salvation for an individual can only be realized when they receive the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for them, was buried and rose again. And through this service, this baptismal service, is a way that God's people, Christians' people, identify with the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for a grandson who has put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, and to have this opportunity to baptize him tonight. Bryce, have you trusted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior?
Yes, sir.
And you're ready to follow him in baptism?
Yes, sir.
All right. And upon your profession of faith and obedience to God's command, I baptize you, my brother and my grandson, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen.
Good evening. I'm losing my voice. I'm using my radio voice right now. But I've got here McKenna Freeman. Miss McKenna, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Because of that profession of Him, Lord, I baptize you now, my little sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. All right, next we've got Brooke DePoe. Brooke, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Now, because of that profession of Him, Brooke, I baptize you now, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good job, Brooke. Hi, this is Mr. John Paul Wheeler. John Paul, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Now, because of that profession to Him, I baptize you now, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Shepherds on this jubilee, while your joyous strains prolong, say what may the
sing it, church.
Excelsis Deo.
the first, nowhere the angels did say was a certain more shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night.
Give him glory tonight. Amen. Y'all may be seated. At this time, I want to invite our young children up through grade five. If you'd like to come up, our favorite grandfather, Grandpa Marshall Chambers, is going to read the Christmas story. So, kids, if Marshall, here he is. Y'all give a little welcome to Grandpa Marshall. I don't even know if he likes that title. And kids, if you want to come down, there's stairs on each side of the stage where you can come up.
Good to see all of these lovely faces. I know there's a lot here, or several anyway, that are here for their first time. I've talked to some parents that said, this is my child's first time here tonight. How many of you up here, if this is your first time to be up here on stage for the reading? Yeah, not quite a few of us. All right, well, we're going to read, this is your baby sister? Oh, what's your name? Huh? Okay. Well, I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Well, we're going to read about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you think someone will be celebrating your birthday 2,000 years from now? That will be a long time. There's several of you that say they will. Well, it's been 2,000 years, over 2,000 years, and we're celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what tomorrow's all about. Merry Christmas. And we're going to read the Christmas story And it tells the story of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and about Him coming to earth. And the section that we're going to read about is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And it goes like this. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went and with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these sayings, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given to him by the angel, for he was when he was conceived in the womb. And young people, he was called Jesus for a reason, because that name means he will save his people from their sins. And it is our prayer that each and every one of you would know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and He would save you from your sins, because that's why He came, to die and be born, be risen, and save us. So tomorrow, thank Him for that. Stop and pause and praise the Lord as you receive the gifts, receive His gift, His life. Amen. God bless you, young people. You can go back to your seats now.
Amen. That's a tradition we started several years ago, and it's just so cool to see all the kids up here and to see the expression on their faces. I can remember as a little boy, my family gathering every year, and we would read the Christmas story. That was something we did in our home, and what a special time that was.
Yeah, if you filled out those guest cards just a minute ago, I want you to tear those off now and be ready. Our guys are coming now to take our offering, and so let's pray together. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your love for us, and we thank you for the gift of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that tonight we celebrate his birth that changed our entire lives. And we pray now that our celebration throughout the next couple of days will remind us of the life that we live and the hope that we have is all because of Jesus. And we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, at Christmas time, people all around the world exchange gifts. And there's a reason that we exchange gifts with people. It's because we give them as an expression of our love. In fact, people spend a lot of time searching high and low to find the right gift to give to the people that they love to express appreciation and kindness and compassion and love. I want you to know there's no greater gift of love that has ever been given than the love that God showed us in giving his son Jesus. You see, we're not here to celebrate just an event in history. We're here to celebrate an event in history that changed all history. And it was the expression of God's love in his son Jesus. Well, one of my favorite books in the New Testament is 1 John. And you may not be familiar with it. It's actually toward the back of your New Testament. It's, and you know, there are the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, the same apostle that wrote John also wrote 1 John. 1 John's back, toward the back of your New Testament, toward Revelation. And he's writing to believers. In fact, by the time that John wrote this, he's the last living apostle. And he's trying to give some words of encouragement. And in chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, he says this: "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And then I love the way he wraps us up in chapter 5. Listen to this. It reminds us of why we celebrate this and why we hold Jesus out at Christmas time to those that we love. It says, "And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." You see, that's the most precious gift ever given on this planet, in the history of all mankind. It still changes lives today. In fact, tonight we saw four people that were baptized, sharing the fact that they had come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I just want you to know, you might unwrap some special gifts this Christmas season. I mean, there might be some incredible things that people are giving you, and they might be most meaningful because they're just an expression of their love for you. But instead of just looking at the people around us, I just want to challenge you tonight to look at the God above us, the one who reigns over us, the one who loves you more than anyone in all the world. And think about what he has given to you, what he holds out to you tonight. And I just want to ask you a question. Do you know that you have eternal life and that you'll go to heaven when this life is over? You know, we don't know when this life's going to come to an end, do we? We know one day it is. In fact, there's a 100% chance that one day this life is going to come to an end for you and for me. We don't know when that's going to be. I mean, it might be when we're younger, it might be when we're older, but we know for a fact it's going to. But that does not end your life. People are created to exist forever. And God says, "I want you to exist forever with me." And so he holds out the gift of his son, Jesus. And he says, "If you will believe in me, I will give you this gift of eternal life, and you will live forever with me in a place called heaven." That's a treasured gift. In fact, that makes all the difference in the world when you gather together at Christmas time. And so I want to ask you a question. Have you come to that place in your life that you know for certain you have eternal life and you'll go to heaven when you die? I mean, you got that assurance in your heart. Do you know that? You said, "Well, nobody can know that." Wait a minute. What did John say in John chapter 5, verse 13? "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life." You can know. And God wants you to know. And I just want to think about this for a second. Do you have any friends that have been holding Jesus out to you? How many friends that have been coming to you and talking to you about knowing Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you have any family members that have been talking to you about having a personal relationship with God through his son Jesus? Well, I want you to know that that's not accidental. It's not just their intention. God in heaven is orchestrating those circumstances and those conversations and the love that's in the hearts of the people around you, because he loves you so much, he wants you to experience the joy and love that comes from knowing Jesus. And if in your heart tonight, you say, "You know, I really do want to know Jesus, and I have the desire to know him as my Lord and Savior," then I want you just to tell him. You don't have to tell him out loud, you can tell him from your heart, but let's just do that right now. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for a minute. And if God's been working in your life and you say, "You know, I really want to know Christ as my Savior," then what better time to give your life to Jesus than right here at the celebration of his birthday? And maybe there's nothing magical about the prayer, but maybe just tell him what's in your heart and pray something like this. Just say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that you love me and that you have a plan for my life, but sin stands in the way of that plan. And that's why Jesus died. He didn't die for his own sins, he died for mine. And so right now, I accept what you did for me on the cross when you died for my sins. And I accept your invitation to become part of your family. I place my faith and trust in you for my salvation. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins and come into my life and give me the gift of everlasting life in Jesus. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for saving me." Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just invited Christ into your heart, you just expressed your faith in Jesus, then I just want you to do me a favor. Just raise your hand up high for a second. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Just keep it up so I can see it for a second. Just raise your hand. In the balcony, just gave your life to Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, you can put them down. I want to pray for you. Because the Bible says that when you come to know Christ, it's like being born again. And you're like a newborn baby and you've got to grow up in your faith. And I just want to pray that God will just encourage you and grow you up and make you strong in your faith. So every day you'll have the power to live for him. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your love for us. It absolutely is amazing how you've demonstrated your love for us in the person of Jesus. And God, I thank you for those tonight that have given their lives to you. They've placed their hope and trust in you for their salvation. And their lives have been forever changed by the person of Jesus. God, I just pray that you would, through your word, the Bible, that you would just encourage their hearts, that you've given the ability to understand it when they read it, that you'll surround them with godly Christian friends that build them up in their faith. And God, that you'll give them a great church home to encourage them, Lord, to help them live out their faith. And I pray that you'd give them the courage to share your love and grace with those that are around them. And God, I thank you for the people that you've gathered together here tonight. Lord, I pray that we'll remember that the most valuable possession that we have is the gift of your grace in the person of Jesus who lives in us. He is our hope. He is our peace. He is our joy. He is our life. Everything is all wrapped up in Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you'll be honored as we celebrate your birthday this year. Thank you for still loving us. Thank you for still saving souls. And thank you for giving us strength and hope and peace and joy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, it'd really be rather odd for us to celebrate the birth of Jesus, knowing what we know about him, without celebrating and remembering his death. In fact, when Jesus met with the disciples at the last Passover meal he shared with them, he told them to eat that same bread and drink that cup and do it all in remembrance of him. And so we're going to do that right now. And this is a family meal. This is for those who are believers who have trusted in Christ. And I just want to remind you, as we celebrate and remember the birth of our Savior, that he came for a very specific reason, and that is that he would live a perfect, sinless life, and about 33 years later, he would stretch out his arms on the cross, and he would die, not for his own sins, but for ours, the sins of the whole world, and then he would be buried and raised again, and it is in him, and him alone, that we have life in his name. And so, I want to pray for us as we share together in the Lord's Supper. Father, thank you for loving us the way you do. Thank you for all that's pictured in this celebration of the life of Jesus and even in his death. Lord, we thank you that he paid the price for our sins, a price that, Lord, we were destined to pay ourselves. Lord, he paid it fully, and now we have life in his name. May you be honored as we share in the supper of our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
What hope we hold, a starlit night, a king is born. Our journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger ground. What fear we felt in the silent age, 400 years can be found, but broken by a baby's cry, rejoicing. Thank you.
on that night that Jesus spent with his disciples, his last night with them. He celebrated the Passover meal. They knew the meaning from the past, but he was giving brand new meaning. And he told them that from this day forward, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do this in remembrance of me, the life that you have in me. And so tonight we do that. We do exactly what Jesus told us to do. He said, when he took the bread and broke it, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat." You know, the scripture reminds us, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus shed his blood on the cross, and that's why that night when he took the cup, he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, my blood, which is poured out for you. Take and drink." You know, that little band of disciples that was with Jesus that night went on to live devoted lives to him. I mean, the next day he was crucified and they saw him die. And then he was buried. And on Sunday morning, something surprising happened. Even though he'd told them about his resurrection, they didn't really understand that until they saw that the tomb was empty. And then over the next 40 days, this resurrected Jesus appeared to people, giving reliable proofs, testimony that he was risen from the dead. That same group lived out their faith in such a loud, strong way around the world. You know, in the book of Acts, it says that they were literally turning the world upside down with the gospel, the good news of the life that's found in Jesus. That's pretty powerful. You know, when I was a kid, I used to love Christmas, and I loved the Christmas carols that we sing. In fact, there were a lot of songs that I learned as a child that, man, they had great meaning. Even though as a child I didn't get it, they're echoed in my life every day. And one of them is, "This little light, I'm going to let it," what? "Shine." You know, that night that Jesus was born, the heavens declared the glory of God, and even the stars reflected his presence. He is the light of the world. And on that one silent night, he literally changed the world. And you know what? There's been a hope in this world ever since. His light has not ever gone out. And tonight we're gonna close with singing that old favorite, "Silent Night." And we're gonna light our candles, and we're going to let our light shine. And I just want you to know, this is just symbolic, okay? This is symbolic of what I want you to do when you go with your family and friends for Christmas. Make sure you share with them the good news of the gospel of Jesus. Make sure you get together with your family and read the Christmas story. Maybe share a testimony of God's love for you when you came to know him as your Savior. But let's let our light shine. Now, let me remind you, tomorrow morning at 10:30, we're going to have the same service again. Maybe you've got a friend that you want to bring with you. Other people are going to be baptized, and some great time of celebration of the birth of the Savior. But we invite you to join us at 10:30 in the morning. And from my family to yours, just want you to have a wonderful, happy, incredible, fantastic Christmas. Let's all stand together and sing "Silent Night." Oh,
Jesus, we worship you in this moment. You alone deserve all honor and glory, and we give it to you. Our newborn King, be born in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas.